Good morning, and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. I'm Karen Kelly, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today is Saturday, February 21st, 2026. I'll be starting out with news from the West Valley View, which covers Buckeye, Avondale, Goodyear, and Tolleson. I will then be reading from the Wickenburg Sun, and at the bottom of the hour, I'll be covering news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. So let's get started with news from westvalleyview.com. Our first article is entitled, Councilmember Kano Appointed to the NLC, written by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. Goodyear City Councilmember Laura Kano was recently appointed to the National League of Cities Energy, Environment, and Natural Resources Committee. Excited to embrace the honor, Kano said she is ready to explore options for water conservation and energy to help support the city's future. It is an honor to serve on the National League of Cities Energy, Environment, and Natural Resources Committee at such an important time for growing communities like Goodyear, Kano said in a statement. As our city continues to expand, it is critical that we implement forward-thinking, sustainable solutions that protect our natural resources and strengthen our infrastructure. I am committed to bringing best-in-class practices back to Goodyear to support smart growth, environment stewardship, and a resilient future for our residents. The council member and new NLC appointee will have her first day on Friday, February 20th. Bringing with her many years of experience working in local government, including work in water services and a board member of the Arizona Municipal Water Users Association. As part of the Energy, Environment, and Natural Resources Committee, Kano will contribute to the organization's federal advocacy agenda concerning sustainability, climate change, community resilience, water infrastructure, solid waste management, and environmental stewardship. One of the major topics that Kano said she is particularly interested in is the Colorado River. With the Stage 1 drought, various cities across the West Valley and other regions have taken measures to ensure their water use remains sustainable for the future, looking for additional ways to use less and save more money. As previously reported in the West Valley View, Governor Katie Hobbs spoke about the negotiations between the lower and upper basin states. She said she felt the upper basin states were not willing to join Arizona and the rest of the lower basin in undertaking its own measures to save water, a sentiment with which Kano concurred. The upper basin states are very much entrenched in their position that it's up to the lower basin to absorb all of the cuts, and Arizona has been designated as a junior user, she said. What Katie Hobbs has been saying, and I agree with, is that it's not acceptable for Arizona to bear all of the cuts for the entire western region. According to the council member, the state of Arizona has laws in place that require 100 years of assured water supply for residential development. She said for the past several decades, Arizona's water usage has remained responsible and consistent, statistically using about the same amount or less water since the 1960s and 70s. While Goodyear does receive water from the Colorado River, Kano said, it does not rely on it as a primary source. With the ongoing dispute, the new committee member said one of her goals is to raise the issue and hopes to inspire progress on the issue. On the matter of energy use, Kano said she has been particularly interested in electric batteries and energy storage systems. As various cities across the state, including Goodyear, continue to grow quickly, the evolution of energy has matched the pace, she said. Kano said that her decision to join the NLC was inspired by Councilmember Wally Campbell, NLC First Tier Suburbs Council Vice Chair, who she said has been very well connected. Beyond embracing the opportunity to advocate at the federal level, Kano says she hopes to be able to bring many ideas from the organization back to Goodyear for the city's benefit. Prior to working for the city of Goodyear, Kano worked with Phoenix for 17 years. Her passion for local government, she says, lies in the prioritization of the public well-being and the immediate impact it delivers. I like it because it is far less partisan, she said. We're really dealing with things that matter, where people live, public safety, roads, infrastructure, and quality of life. It's a good fit for me. As she looks forward to her first meeting with the Energy, Environment, and Natural Resources Committee, the new appointee said that she has a message for Goodyear's residents and her fellow members of council. I'm very honored to have this opportunity to represent Goodyear at the national level, she said. Goodyear is an example of a well-run city. We're financially solvent, we've got a great work culture, and we are very proactive in dealing with issues that are coming to us. I will represent the city well, and I'm looking forward to taking information that I learned from colleagues from across the nation and bringing it back to share with my fellow council members here. And that concludes the article, Councilmember Kano appointed to the NLC. Our next article, Massing of the Colors Recognizes ROTC Youth, written by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. For the past 40 years, the military order of the World Wars have gathered veterans, military service members, their families, and ROTC and junior ROTC students together for a celebration and recognition of American military history and the sacrifice of men and women in uniform. For Chris Schmidt, commander of the Military Order of the World Wars West Valley Chapter, the event is an opportunity for the community to express appreciation for the country and branches of the military they're connected to. One of the things that is especially meaningful is that we have multi-generational involvement, people in their 80s and 90s, all the way down to high school students in their teens who come out to appreciate the meaning of the flag, Schmidt said. It's something where we foster not only pride, but patriotism, and it brings differing communities together in a common purpose. The annual Massing of the Colors and Service Remembrance event unfolded on February 10th at the Palm Ridge Recreation Center in Sun City West. The focal point of the ceremonies is the Massing of the Colors, in which representatives from various military groups and organizations present their flags and fly them all together. Among the groups and special guests present were the Rosie the Riveters, who brought its 104-year-old member. The Desert Brass Band was in attendance as well, accompanying the festivities with various classic patriotic songs, including the National Anthem, each military branch's anthem, God Bless America, and Ragged Old Flag. I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag, a member of the brass band recited from the song. In her own good land, here she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused, and the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. We raise her up every morning. We take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. Though the event featured various ROTC and junior ROTC units, Peoria High School Air Force Junior ROTC was selected to hold the American and Arizona State flags during the national anthem and Pledge of Allegiance. They also performed the Missing Man Ceremony, also known as the POW-MIA Table Ceremony, in which they set a table with symbolic items for men and women in uniform who are missing in action and have not returned home. Each student from Peoria High represented a different branch of the military, Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. Each detail of the ceremony, including the shape of the table, items included, and position of the glasses and chair, the Junior ROTC unit explained, is significant and possesses meaning. Toward the end of the afternoon of fanfare, solemn moments of silence and celebration of military service members and youth
guest speaker and former principal with the Department of Defense Education Activity Director, Laura Kenny, took the podium to tell her story as an educator overseas and a military spouse. She detailed her experiences helping students to continually readjust to their rapidly changing lives and emphasized the importance of supportive families in the face of the students' struggle to make lasting friendships. The former principal recounted many anecdotes from sporting events with her students in Italy, France, and other countries, noting the children's love of all the different food they got to experience. Finally, toward the end of her speech, Kenny said that despite all of the challenges and hardships, she felt the sacrifice was worth it. Over 30 years, I dedicated 272,000 hours with 11,310 days in 8 different schools in 5 different countries to support the military and their families, and in 40 years of marriage, my husband and I spent more years apart than together, she said. Students, active duty military veterans, and civilians, if it were not for your dedication and your service, I would not have had the opportunities to serve overseas as an educator. You were my mission, and I was proud to be the principal. According to Commander Schmidt, the Military Order of the World Wars is an organization that supports youth education as much as it does various veterans' organizations across the state. Following the conclusion of this year's festivities and looking forward to next year's events, he said is deeply grateful to his fellow veterans for their service. We're proud of each and every one of you for what you've done and what you continue to do, he said. The complete list of the massing of the colors lineup included Northwest Valley, Veterans Associations, the Military Order of the World Wars Santa Cruz Valley Chapter 193, and the Northwest Valley Veterans Association Headquarters, the American Legion, John J. Morris, Post 62, Peoria, Mary Ellen Petrowski, Post 94, Sun City West, Joseph Q. Johnson, Post 96, and John Harries, Post 101, Sun City. The Disabled American Veterans Star Chapter 24, Sun City and Auxiliary Unit 24, Sun City. Korean War Veterans West Valley Chapter, Military Officers Association of America Luke Chapter, and the Military Order of the Purple Heart Chapter 691. Voiture Locale 1154 Hacienda, Festival Veterans Club Sun City Festival, and Veterans Affinity. ROTC and Junior ROTC units, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University Army ROTC, Aofria High School, Cactus High School, Sandra Day O'Connor High School and Peoria High School, Air Force Junior ROTC, Apollo High School and Glendale High School, Navy Junior ROTC, Tolleson High School and West View High School, Marine Corps Junior ROTC. Other flag units, Arizona Veterans Hall of Fame Society, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Nikki D. Bacon, Post 285, Rosie the Riveters, Sun City, Arizona Chapter, Gold Star Wives of America, Phoenix Chapter, Blue Star Moms of the Southwest Valley, Daughters of American Revolution, Aofria Chapter, Sun City, Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War with Picacho Peak Camp 1, Women's Army Corps Veterans Association Chapter 68, Scottish American Military Society Post 48 Phoenix, Flag of Scottsdale Sun City Posse, Sons of the American Revolution Soro Chapter, America 250th Flag, Arizona Territorial Chapter of the Association of the U.S. Army, and Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 432, CB Island, X5, West Valley. And this concludes the article, Massing of the Colors Recognizes ROTC Youth. Our next article is Teen Artists Leave Their Mark on Goodyear's Heart Project, written by Joshua Fenty, West Valley View staff writer. 5 years ago, the city of Goodyear sought to do something special to celebrate its 75th anniversary, deciding on a public art project. The Heart Goodyear Project gave local artists an opportunity to take in the city's sights, speak to residents, and create a work of art that represents a specific area. This is a great opportunity to have artwork in a lot of our local parks and very accessible artwork to our community, Arts and Culture Coordinator Lane Ruiz said. The artists really love being able to capture what's meaningful to Goodyear, and that's been a fun piece of this project, really is how it spreads artwork throughout our city and just engages so many artists as part of the process. The Heart of Goodyear Public Art Installation Project features 10 5x6 fiberglass hearts at various locations throughout the city of Goodyear. Most recently, the students of Alice Cooper's Solid Rock Teen Center worked with master artist Troy Buck to paint their own heart outside of the building. We've done work and partnerships with the city of Goodyear for almost 10 years, whether it's art, live music, or different opportunities, said Randy Spencer, representative from the Solid Rock Teen Center. We jumped at that chance because if we can get the teens something on their resume and learn from a lead artist like Troy, who's incredibly talented and gifted, those are really life-changing experiences for young people. Mayor Joe Pizzullo joined the students for the unveiling ceremony, posing for photos with the students and other Solid Rock staff. Spencer described the Solid Rock heart as processing bits and pieces that represented the many talents and interests of the students, including music and dance. One of the images depicted on the monument is of an original character named Phil, who was created by one of the Solid Rock teens. The lineup of artists who have painted a heart and their respective locations include Lychan Shepherd at Goodyear Ballpark, Bridget DeMarco Jerome at Bullard Wash Park Amphitheater, Kelsey Phillips at Bullard Wash Park Playground, Uwa Bugula Foothills Community Park, Deborah Goley at Estrella Vista Park North, Connie Whitlock and Marty Wolf at Falcon Park, Marita Jaha at Goodyear Community Park, Jessica Kerr at Loma Linda Park, Ariel Fan at Parque de Paz, and Lucretia Torva at Wildflower Park South. According to Ruiz, each heart was repainted in 2022 following the initial introduction of the program in 2021. She said that moving forward, the city of Goodyear will periodically partner with more local artists to repaint the monuments. Before the Solid Rock Teen Center housed the adolescent artists, it was the original location of the city's library and had its own corresponding heart. With Georgia T. Lord Library being at GSQ and the building being repurposed, the Arts and Culture Coordinator explained that the city wanted the heart to be refreshed to reflect the new environment. For Ruiz, the Heart of Goodyear contributes to the overall goal of public art installations in fostering a sense of community. She said she feels the Arts and Culture Department does well in ensuring each piece shows that the residents are heard and expressed. With the Alice Cooper Solid Rock Teen Center unveiled to the community, the Arts and Culture Coordinator said she congratulates the young artists on this accomplishment. "I want to say great job to the students," Ruiz said. "They've gone through the whole public art process from you coming up with the design, going to our Arts and Culture Commission and presenting, getting that approved, and then working under a master artist and a teacher. Congratulations on such a successful project, and I hope this leads you further down the road of arts and culture and opens some doors for you in the world of public art." And this concludes the article entitled, "Teen Artists Leave Their Mark on Goodyear's Heart Project." That concludes news from West Valley View. You can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Now, let's move on to news from the Wickenburg Sun. Our first article is Council OK's Amendment to Field Facility Rental Fees. Article by Taylor Schwartz Olson. The town of Wickenburg has a new fee schedule for field and facility rentals, following a vote of 6-1 by the Wickenburg Town Council to amend current fees. Human Resources Director Tara Mayerhofer presented the proposed changes to the council, which reflected their prior direction given during a meeting in December. Mayerhofer said the fees help cover field care, maintenance, and more. The new fee schedule establishes a standard non-resident field rental rate, provides a 50% reduction for local nonprofits, and maintains a no-cost use for town programs and those operating under an intergovernmental agreement. The town has an IGA with several government agencies, such as the Wickenburg Unified School District, Arizona Department of Transportation, Maricopa County, and others for use of fields and facilities. With the rate reduction for nonprofits, the town will not fully recover the costs of field usage, and despite the proposed fees, a portion of operating and maintenance costs continues to fall on the town and its taxpayers. The fee will be a flat, per field, per day fee, though that doesn't mean each reservation takes up the whole day. While it says per day, it's per day rental. When it's a rental, it doesn't mean it's the entire day. It's the entire need of the day, Mayerhofer said. It could be 2 hours. It could be 6 hours. Overall, Mayerhofer said there was broad support for the schedule from stakeholders. A $50 fee will be charged to local nonprofits or open enrollment community youth recreation. $75 will be charged to residents and $100 to non-residents wishing to use the fields. In addition to the base fee, there will be a $7 per hour per day charge for field lighting for nonprofits and youth recreation, a $15 per hour fee for residents, and a $25 per hour fee for non-residents. And this concludes the article, Council OK's Amendment to Field Facility Rental Fees. Our next article is Museum Holds Desert Adventure Tour February 25th, written by Cesar Chavez, Director of Marketing. Join historian Joe Stevens as we explore ghost towns around the Wickenburg area. The tour will begin at the museum at 9 a.m. for a brief orientation. Stops on the tour will include Octave, Stanton, the Old Congress Town Site and Cemetery, and the Garcia Cemetery. The tour will conclude in Wickenburg around 3:30 p.m. Participants will self-drive and pay for their own lunch in Congress at the Depot Barbecue. Tours depart from Sigler Western Museum's main library at 21 North Frontier Street, Wickenburg. Wear comfortable walking shoes. Please arrive at the main museum entrance at 8:45 a.m. to fill out emergency contact forms and participation waivers. Pre-registration is required. Don't miss these adventures. Reserve your spot today. Visit westernmuseum.org or call during business hours Monday through Friday at 928-684-2272 or come to the museum Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., or Sunday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Desert Adventure Tour Ghost Towns, $40 for members, $60 for not-yet members. Tours are subject to change. Youth under 18 must be accompanied by an adult. This concludes the article, Museum Holds Desert Adventure Tour, February 25th. There were no obituaries listed in the Wickenburg Sun this week. Next up, Around Town. Seeking grillers for Guys Who Grill. Wickenburg's premier grilling competition, Guys Who Grill, returns on Saturday, March 21st for its 14th year of delicious barbecue, cold beer, and live entertainment. The Webb Center is seeking teams to compete in a heated battle during this annual fundraising event. Teams will spend a fun-filled day showing off their culinary skills, enjoying the camaraderie of the competitors, and claiming prizes including the coveted People's Choice Award. From 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Wickenburg Community Center will bustle with the sights, sounds, and aromas of grilling teams offering the crowd their best menu items to sample: wings, brisket, pulled pork ribs, and more. The coveted People's Choice Award goes to the team with the most donations or votes collected at their booth. Teams can consist of guys and gals, church groups, families, friends, the casual backyard grillers, or professional chefs. All are welcome. There is no fee to register, and guys who grill teams are eligible for reimbursement up to $400 in expenses to help subsidize food costs. Guys Who Grill is sanctioned by the Barbecue Championship Series and AZ Barbecue. More details are available at webcenter.org. Email Janet Lang at jlang, and that's J-L-A-N-G, at dewpac.org, or by calling 928-684-6610 to register your team by Friday, February 27th. Guys Who Grill event attendees will enjoy all-you-can-sample barbecue and live music. VIP tickets offering reserved, covered seating and food service are available in advance for $50. General admission tickets are $20 in advance or at the gate. Advance tickets may be purchased online at webcenter.org or by calling the Webb Center box office at 928-684-6624. All proceeds benefit the theater's annual summer arts camp, Camp Imagination. And that concludes the article, Seeking Grillers for Guys Who Grill. Next up, this week in Wickenburg history. 10 years ago, on February 24th, 2016, Boyd's Trust gifts $1 million to Hospital Foundation. "Even after they're gone, they're here," said Art Ditto, describing the late Alex and Jane Boyd, who were smitten with Wickenburg after their passing, continue a legacy of generosity to this community. The Boyds moved to Wickenburg close to 30 years ago and developed many friendships and a sincere love for the town. Both passed away within the past couple of years, and now the Alex and Jane Boyd Irrevocable Trust lives in their memory. Numerous significant improvements in the community have been funded by the Boyds. And we'll finish with the Humane Society of Wickenburg Pet of the Week. This week, we're focused on a nice dog named Howie. Howie is a cattle dog Australian Red Heeler mix, weighing in at 54 pounds. He is 1 year and 3 months old. He has an intake date of November 17th of last year and an adoption fee of $200. His bio says, "Howie, the happy-go-lucky adventurer." This cattle mix cutie has a big personality and an even bigger heart. Howie loves exploring and showing off his goofy charm. He's always excited to meet new people and is quick to hand out kisses. Howie has the most gorgeous coat with speckles of brown and black-lined ears that show off his charm. Howie would thrive with a family who has other pets, but could be an only also. He's bright, bold, and ready to grow into the loyal best friend you've been waiting for. Howie has shown little interest to cats nearby, but you'll need to test him yourself. If you're interested in adopting Howie, please contact the Humane Society of Wickenburg at 928-684-8801. This concludes news from the Wickenburg Sun. Remember, You can take SunSounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. I'm Karen Kelly, and you're listening to the West Valley News Digest on SunSounds of Arizona. For the remaining time, I'll be reading news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise from yourvalley.net, as well as the online editions of the Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise Independence, the Glendale Star, and the Peoria Times. So let's continue. Our next article is Glendale Quietly Relocated Peacocks in Fall. Article by Richard Smith. With little fanfare and no formal discussion after September, Glendale found new homes for nearly three-quarters of the peacocks and peahens in and around Sororo Ranch Park and the city's main library. Council reached a consensus to humanely remove the birds during an August 12 workshop. Since the contract for relocation of the peacocks was under the $100,000 amount, it did not require a council vote, stated Media Relations and Communications Program Manager Leslie Miller in an email. Residents and visitors who thought they saw less peafowl, the catch-all term for both peacocks and peahens, in and around the park over the holidays were right. The peafowl project occurred in November, and 96 peacocks were rehomed. We estimate that 35 peacocks remain, Miller stated. In August, residents started a petition drive titled Stop the Relocation of the Sororo Ranch Park Peacocks. As of September 4th, the petition had 2,943 signatures, and by February 16, it had grown to 4,718 signees. Dwindling the flock down to just 33 will leave them weak to predation. When a flock of birds has lived together in certain numbers for their whole lives, they create a system within the flock for protection. When you wipe those numbers out, the flock does not know how to protect itself in such small numbers. Considering the amount of predatory animals in the area, this could very well lead to the complete eradication of the remaining birds, read a section of the petition. Resident Joyce Capson filed a formal complaint about the peafowl removal on November 25th without bringing it back before the council for a vote. A February 2024 census counted 111 peafowl. The February 2025 census showed 160 peafowl. And in March 2025, it was 137 peafowl. The population growth and territorial behavior pushed more birds out of the park to the library, the Glendale Adult Center, and nearby homes. The roof of the main library leaks. There's an unknown cost to that repair, and it's partially due to peafowl roosting on that roof, Glendale Parks and Recreation Director John Kennedy said in August. City staff used raptor events for humane removal and relocation of the peafowl at $425 per bird. The original idea to send up to 40 birds to Texas A&M University's Department of Ecology fell apart quickly. Petitioners raised several concerns related to Texas A&M's history. Council member Lauren Tolmachoff confirmed at the September 15th council meeting that the city will not send any peafowl to the university. Relocation costs approximately $50,000. And this concludes the article, Glendale Quietly Relocated Peacocks in Fall. Next up, Peoria Commission to Hear Mixed-Use Proposal from Lennar Homes, written by Philip Haldeman. The Peoria Planning Commission heard a proposal February 19th from national home builder Lennar Homes for a mixed-use development on 24 acres at the northeast corner of Lake Pleasant Parkway and Deer Valley Road. The proposed project, the Shops and the Cove at Camino El Lago includes 8 acres of commercial fronting Lake Pleasant Parkway and about 16.2 acres of 105 alley-loaded single-family units with functional open spaces and pedestrian connectivity to promote walkability between uses. Alley-loaded allows residents to park their car behind the residence. The residential component, The Cove, is planned to be developed as a new for-sale housing product. Documents state the project will bring a much-needed and new housing product to this area of the city. Peoria Independent initially reported on the proposal last December. At the time, dates had not been set for a Planning Commission hearing. However, a neighborhood meeting was held for public input October 15. To bring the project to fruition, the land will need to be rezoned from agriculture to planned area development, and the general plan land use map designation will need to be amended from mixed-use Main Street to mixed-use Neighborhood Village Center. If the Planning Commission approves the proposal, City Council will eventually have final approval. At that February 19 meeting, the Commission also considered updating the zoning ordinance to make it more modern. Additionally, the Commission will receive an update regarding the Peoria Innovation Core. And this concludes the article, Peoria Commission to Hear Mixed-Use Proposal from Lennar Homes. Our next article is Founders Day Set for March Return in Surprise. Independent News Media. Founders Day is making its return to the original town site next month. The City of Surprise is teaming up with the Surprise Original Town Site Stakeholder Committee to present this year's festival to honor the city's history and culture from 4 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, March 28, at Bicentennial Park, 16705 North Nash Street. Admission and parking are free. The spirited event aims to capture the essence of long-standing traditions and to remember the founding of the City of Surprise within the original town site by honoring the community's founding families and current residents, the city wrote in a news release announcing the date. The festival is designed for all ages to enjoy a variety of local musicians, performers, and speakers. The city is also offering sponsorship packages through Tuesday, March 3rd, offering a range of promotional benefits for participating partners. For information or to participate as a sponsor, contact Deb Perry by phone at 623-222-1623 or email Deborah, Deborah, dot Perry, Perry, at surpriseaz.gov. And again, this will take place on Saturday, March 28th at the Bicentennial Park from 4 to 8 p.m., and it is free admission. This concludes the article entitled Founders Day Set for March, Return in Surprise. Let's continue. Our next article is Cinema to Take Center Stage Sunday in Surprise. Article by Jason Stone. The power of film scores and the heroes who inspire them will come to life Sunday at the Vista Center for the Arts. The Arizona Winds Symphonic Band is presenting Heroes and Legends, a Symphony of Cinema, this Sunday, February 22nd, at the Surprise Theater at 15660 North Parkview Place. Doors open at 3 p.m. and the free concert begins at 4 p.m. The concert aims to take attendees on a musical and visual journey through some of the most iconic soundtracks in film history. This unforgettable event promises to transport audiences into the heart of legendary stories, celebrating the heroes, both real and fictional, who inspire and elevate the human spirit, music director and conductor Rich Shelton wrote in a news release. the performance begins with The Right Stuff, evoking the bold and daring spirit of America's astronaut pioneers as they pushed the boundaries of human potential. Next up is music from Braveheart, an emotionally charged suite capturing the resilience and sacrifice of William Wallace as he fought for freedom in 13th century Scotland. From historical warriors to the depths of the ocean, out to sea, and the shark cage fuge from Steven Spielberg's blockbuster Jaws brings tension and intrigue, immersing audiences in the energy of one of cinema's most iconic ocean creature scenes. The journey then turns to Legends of the Fall, an evocative and sweeping score that paints a portrait of family's love, lost, and destiny in the America West, spanning a 50-year period beginning in the early 20th century. As the concert moves toward the stars, symphonic suite from Star Trek transports listeners into the cosmos, celebrating the spirit of exploration and the enduring legacy of one of the most beloved sci-fi franchises in its 60th anniversary. After intermission, the adventure intensifies with The Great Escape, a musical depiction of courage and defiance in World War II. The Patriot Suite reignites the themes of bravery and revolution with music inspired by America's fight for independence. A shift in tone brings the joyful and whimsical energy of Madagascar, capturing the lighthearted spirit of animated adventure and comedic brilliance. The concert's grand finale features John Williams' The Jedi Steps and Finale, a stirring tribute to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, celebrating the epic heroism, destiny, and triumph of one of the most legendary cinematic sagas. As an encore, Williams, A Hymn to New England, provides a poignant and reverent closing moment, honoring the beauty and legacy of the American Northeast, a land shaped by pioneers, dreamers, and visionaries. This concludes the article, Cinema to Take Center Stage Sunday in Surprise. The next article is City Seeking Input to Drive Transportation Plan by Glendale Star Staff. Residents and anyone who travels to and from Glendale have the opportunity to help the city steer a transportation plan that will guide how people drive, walk, bike, take transit, and otherwise get around the community. The City of Glendale is accepting feedback from the community for its new transportation plan through a questionnaire available on the Glendale Moves website. The survey closes February 28. The plan will pave the way for the city to prioritize and fund large and small transportation projects that will make the community's streets safer, smoother, easier, and more reliable for anyone who uses them. Improvements guided by the plan will support access to jobs, schools, parks, entertainment venues, and local businesses. Glendale recognizes that no one knows the city's streets better than the people who use them every day. Community feedback will help the city identify problem spots as well as set priorities and select the upgrades that matter most to residents. This is an opportunity for residents to directly influence road projects, safety improvements, and long-term investments. Take the survey at glendalemoves.com by February 28 to share with Glendale what is working and where enhancements are needed most. This concludes the article entitled City Seeking Input to Drive Transportation Plan. Our next article is entitled PUSD Awards Standout Project Citizen Students. Article by Joshua Fenty, Peoria Times staff writer. The Peoria Unified School District recently celebrated its first Project Citizen Showcase, awarding various students for their innovative and well-thought-out solutions to problems they've observed in their communities. Of the three winning teams, two came from Frontier Elementary School and one from Sunset Heights Elementary School. Sunset Heights Team 1 in first place, Frontier Team 3 in second, and Frontier Team 2 in third. I had the opportunity over the last couple of weeks to see all your presentations, and I couldn't be more impressed. Social studies coach Michael Johnson said, addressing the young citizens, "It's not always easy, but you've exercised patience, communication, and trust, and you are the leaders of our future." Between Apache, Frontier, Marshall Ranch, Sun Valley, and Sunset Heights, each elementary school assembled 1 to 3 teams of students to compete, yielding 11 teams consisting of at least 4 students each. Together, Aubrey Freewald, Tristan Olson, Grayson Horton, Savannah Howie, and Logan Wagner Corona earned 261 out of 300 points on their project, earning the Sunset Heights students the first place trophy. According to Johnson, the students took an interest in the uptick in heat-related deaths across Arizona, proposing regulations they felt would decrease the risk. With a score of 252 out of 300, Gage Runstrom, Josiah Medina, Patrick Riley, Roman Dozal, and Kai Millett from Frontier Elementary School came in second place. The social studies coach said that the boys examined their local e-bike rules and regulations and proposed licensure solutions to enhance the safety within their communities and neighborhoods. Also, from Frontier Elementary, Team 2 scored 241 out of 300 points. Lacey Snyder, Madison Fulmer, Kenley Harmon, Abigail Szczynski, Hayden Nolan, and Lexi Davis looked into recycling efforts, seeking ways to be more environmentally friendly and support a sustainable future. Supporting each team in their successes were their teachers and advisors, Angela Ward from Sunset Heights and Efren Parra from Frontier, Apache's Brianna O'Connor, Marshall Ranch's Matthew Harper, and recent Summer's Spotlight awardee, Kathleen Boos from Sun Valley. Additionally, various leaders in the community attended the awards ceremony, including PUSD governing board members and Glendale Vice Mayor Ray Malnar. According to Johnson, most of the project citizen participants were 8th grade students, with some 6th and 7th graders from gifted and talented programs mixed in. Project Citizen is a program implemented across the state up to 12th grade students, and Johnson mentioned that PUSD has discussed offering it to its high school students in the future. Each group in the competition was tasked with identifying an issue in the community, researching the problem, and presenting their solution before a panel of judges. The scoring for the proposals were based on 4 major criteria for evaluation: understanding the problem, analysis of alternative policies, public policy development, and persuasiveness and implementation of an action plan. The social science coach said that Project Citizen helps students to develop various skills that will serve them well. They're not just reading a textbook and answering some questions. They've learned how to actually research without using the assistance of AI and learn to work together, Johnson said. Probably the most important aspect of their learning is public speaking, because a lot of young people, a lot of adults, have a fear of public speaking. It's very well aligned to the standards of 8th grade social studies here in the state of Arizona, by not just learning about what citizenship is, but actively being involved in the community on many different levels. With the district level of the competition concluded, PUSD teams will also move forward to the state level of the competition, which Johnson said is scheduled for May 6. Looking to the event on the horizon, Johnson said he is very grateful to Peoria Unified Students for making the district's first Project Citizen a major success. They were the first individuals to ever participate in the inaugural Project Citizen Showcase here in Peoria Unified, and they can never have that taken away from them, the social science coach said. I'd like to thank them because I never would have imagined, even as optimistic and positive as I am, that it would have gone that well and that these students would have cared that much and been that passionate. And this concludes the article entitled PUSD Awards Standout Project Citizen Students. Next up, news briefs. Arizona primary election date has changed. Arizona voters should be aware of a change to the election calendar in 2026. Governor Katie Hobbs recently signed a bipartisan bill passed by the Arizona legislature that permanently moves Arizona's primary elections to the second to last Tuesday in July. Previously, the primary was held on the first Tuesday in August. The 2026 primary election will now take place on Tuesday, July 21st. This change gives election officials additional time to prepare for the general election and helps ensure military and overseas voters receive their ballots in time to participate. Important dates to know. Candidate filing period, February 21st to March 23rd. Primary election day, Tuesday, July 21st. For election updates, deadlines, and voter information, visit peoria.gov/government/departments/city-clerk-of-office/election. And also we have free digital library access with the Peoria eCard. Peoria's public libraries now offer e-cards for all Maricopa County residents. This gives you free access to e-books and audiobooks, music and graphic novels, online reading learning resources. Sign up at peoriaaz.info/e-card. And last, we have Help Shape Peoria's Restaurant and Retail Scene. Input helps attract new businesses and support city services like police, fire sanitation, street repairs, park maintenance, and other services we rely on every day. Take the Retail and Restaurant Preference Survey, open now through March 9th. Find the survey at peoriaaz.gov/retail-survey. And we'll end with our last article entitled Help Wanted in Service, article by Judy Bloom. Customer service, where art thou? Insidiously, covertly, and intentionally, too many businesses have traded in the service contract with the customer, and it has morphed into customer assistance. Now, can we just go back to the days when businesses cared and we didn't need assistance? Maybe it is just too much to ask in our high-tech, AI-loving world. I guess we have all accepted that when we go to the grocery store, we will pay high prices for shrinking product packages and still must be our own cashier and bagger. Big corporations know that their customers are not getting service with this setup. But onward we go, because it costs money to pay for a cashier, and you, dear customer, can do it all for free. Behold, recall the term convenience? It is true that businesses have made it more convenient for their daily operations and staff, but not so much for the consumer. Healthcare is one example. Please complete your intake online. Check the app for updates. Take this online survey when you leave. You want to talk to a human? How dare you? Our friendly bot, Marcus, can help with all of your needs. Unless it is a true emergency, then dial 911. Because anything short of a heart attack can be handled on your smartphone, computer, or by talking to a chat bot. Exceptional customer service still exists, mostly found in small businesses or newly opened establishments. My son-in-law went to a new emergency center with a cut finger, and they had him stitched up and out the door in an hour. He received a thank you note in the mail, followed up by a nurse calling to see how he was doing. For a finger. So the above and beyond strategy still happens, yet we know that is not the norm. The lack of customer service is becoming entrenched in big corporations. Is this the new normal? Companies are implementing cost-cutting measures, outsourcing, relying heavily on AI, creating high employee turnover, inadequate training, and a company culture that prioritizes profit above all else. So pesky things like quality and service becomes one of the consequences of the new way of operating. Around Halloween, someone brought one of those life-size skeletons into a local DMV and sat it in a chair. It was holding a sign that read, "Trust me, the wait is not too long. Just take a number." It created a lot of laughter when folks walked in the door, so the staff left the skeleton sitting there as a warning to others. Pretty funny, but oh so true. Have you flown lately? Be patient, my friend. Delays, baggage losses, crowds, and seats in coach class that have been made as small and uncomfortable as possible are just part of the flight path. Could consolidation and the fact that four airlines control approximately 80% of the U.S. domestic travel market be the issue? Complaints have set a record in the past year. We're sick of the chaos. That's the plain truth. Want to complain? Be careful. Your call is being recorded for quality assurance. But is anyone listening? Service, please come back. And this concludes the article, Help Wanted in Service. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining me for the West Valley News Digest. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. I'm Karen Kelly, your Sun Sounds volunteer. Please stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.